Verse 30. We're looking at chapter 7 and 8. The plagues of blood, frogs, lice, and flies. What a combination. But I want to tell you, there's still lessons to be learned. Moses, before he even begins to bring these plagues about through God's power, Moses apparently has a lesson to learn of his own. Now, if you've read the previous chapters of Exodus, you know that he was going through a lot of doubts about that he could do the job. And he brings up a lot of excuses why he can't do the job that he's about to do, which is very important. He will be God's mouthpiece. And now, as the time has arrived to unleash the plagues, in chapter 6, verse 30, before we ever get into chapter 7 that begins all of this, Moses said before Jehovah, and I find this kind of amazing, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" So God has to say what he says in chapter 7, verse 1, doesn't he? Jehovah said to Moses, "See, I have made thee as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he let the children of Israel go out of the land." The reason God has to say what he says in verse 1 is what Moses had said in the previous verse, chapter 6, verse 29. Here again, Moses is doubting his ability to get the job done. But I thought we've already been through this. Yeah, we've been through it, and here again it pops up. That phrase, uncircumcised lips, that Moses mentions in chapter 6, verse 29, from what I've read and studied in the original language, means not adequate of saying the words essential to get the job done. God, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. In other words, what he was saying, God, I'm not adequate of saying the words essential to get the job done. Now, Pharaoh may be intimidating me just a little bit. This is a mighty powerful man who rules this nation, and you're sending me to face him? So he does have some doubts. And again, he's bringing up an excuse as he had done earlier. And once again, this is the man for the job. He doesn't quite believe it yet, but this is the man for the job. And God once again tells him, as we read again, "I've made thee as a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet," or literally, "thy mouthpiece." So in other words, Moses, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear that coming out of your mouth, that you're somebody of uncircumcised lips. And you know, you and I today, if we're not real careful, can have the same problem. Because in our day and time, we are dealing with the pharaohs of this day, are we not? The same kind of attitude that Pharaoh even expressed when he said, "Who is Jehovah?" No respect. After all, he had a plurality of gods that he believed in. Who is Jehovah? And as we well know, he's about to find out who is Jehovah. You and I can face our pharaohs today, and we face them all over the world. We face them in our country. We face them in the cities that we live in. We face them wherever we go. And we, if we're not careful, can be intimidated. We can have some university professor, agnostic, atheistic, with a PhD by his name, and we can be intimidated by someone like that. We can have the same problem, but brethren, as Moses is going to find out, and let's give him credit, he needs a little push, he's going to get it, and he's going to go about this task. That's what we need to do. And there is no excuse that Moses could bring up, or you and I, where we do not speak up for God. That is unacceptable. There is not any excuse that will hold water. You and I today, as Moses, was literally a mouthpiece for God. I love the way that's phrased in the American Standard Version. I have made thee as a God to Pharaoh. Do not be intimidated by Pharaoh. Stand up to Pharaoh, and through you, my power will be demonstrated not only to Pharaoh, but to all of Egypt. You and I are the mouthpieces of God today, like Moses was the mouthpiece of God then. And Moses needed to learn that lesson. And sometimes you and I need to learn that lesson. Now, we know all the verses in the Bible that encourage us to do that. There's so many, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Be ready to do so. Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. And those opportunities face us every day. If you work in this secular world, and Moses is in the midst of a very secular world in Egypt, then you know what I'm talking about. On the front lines, those opportunities are there for to make these verses speak up and be real. Contend earnestly for the faith. That's what God is doing. That through Moses. Moses is defending God and showing he's greater than Pharaoh and all of Pharaoh's gods. And I don't care if the Pharaoh has a god of the frogs or the lice or the flies, and there was probably a god for all of these. Jehovah is greater and stronger and supersedes any of their gods. Acts chapter 20, verse 27, the bold Paul said, I shrink not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. And that's what Pharaoh's about to face. God and His Word. Philippians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, I am set to make a defense of the gospel. And we know in the book of Acts, he did that quite often. Where did Paul go when he entered a city? To the synagogue, knowing there would be debate, knowing there would be contention, knowing there would be much opposition to him, but he went right there. And only after he was rejected there that he turned upon the Jews, and lo, I go to the Gentiles. Brethren, you and I must have courage and boldness like Moses needed courage and boldness, which he will certainly carry through with a little push. Sometimes we need it. In spite of the opposition inside or outside the church that we face. We're going to face it in this secular world. We see it reflected in our society. We see it reflected in politics. We see it reflected in education. We see it reflected in every area of life. There is a great struggle. And we must be bold and courageous to stand up against those foes of light and truth. And let it be known that I am not ashamed to own my Lord nor to defend His cause. That's the pattern I see by the early Christians. That's the pattern I see in Moses. As he does have the courage and the boldness to go to Pharaoh and face him and look him right in the eye. And when Moses speaks the word of God and Pharaoh hardens his heart, then the plagues begin. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the early Christians could have been intimidated in that Roman world that they lived in very easily. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had persuaded they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46, later on, and you know you can find a lot more examples than what I'm bringing forth to you, Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God should be first spoken to you, seeing you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. One other verse of many that I could allude to, but cognizant of my time, in Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 30, at the end of the book, he abode 2 whole years in his own hired dwelling and received all that went unto him, preaching the kingdom of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding him. Now it was time for Moses to quit making excuses. It was time for Moses to put intimidation behind him. I don't care who it is he's dealing with. In this case, it was Pharaoh. And it was time for Moses to confront Pharaoh. And this same Pharaoh who was trying to put God down and say, who is Jehovah? Who is he that I should even have any dialogue about this? And as one brother said, and I know you've heard this, he's about to get a 10-lesson course on who Jehovah is. And when you look at these first 4 plagues as they unfold, oh, Satan has some power or trickery, doesn't he? The plague of the blood was actually supposedly repeated by Pharaoh's magicians. Likewise, the second one concerning the frogs, supposedly, but when you get down to the lice, they can't repeat that one. And when you get down to the flies, even there, if you've read the text, God decides where that plague is going to happen and where it's not going to happen. So those of Satan can use trickery and deceit and a sleight of hand to try to make you think that they've got that kind of power, but in reality we know they don't. Who is Jehovah, the creator of this universe, of this earth? Who is Jehovah, continues to sustain it? Who is Jehovah who sees and works in his providence in the affairs of men? And that's why when everything looks pretty grim around us and Pharaoh must have been discouraged and all of the Israelites, they're in bondage for a lot of years. And it may seem like a pretty big task that Moses is going to square off with Pharaoh, and we're going to see a little bit about him shortly. And that there may be a possibility that all the Israelites may be delivered and Moses is going to lead them out. There was probably a lot of people among the Israelites that didn't give that a high percentage of happening. And we know the Israelites as a nation had a problem with their own faith, didn't they? Don't you think they questioned that a lot? So certainly as we look in chapter 7 and 8, right from the start of chapter 7, back into 6 and 7, we see that Moses has a lesson to learn. And I believe he learns it. And he goes off in great courage and conviction. But number two, brethren, as we read through chapters 7 and 8, and as these plagues begin to be unleashed on the Egyptians, Pharaoh had a lesson to learn, didn't he? He's going to learn about 10 of them. And there's 2 things we find out about Pharaoh, and we don't want to be in the same boat with him. Stubbornness will lead to a hardened heart. And there is no question that Pharaoh is a stubborn man. Now, I know the Bible says that he hardened his own heart, and I know the Bible says that the Lord hardened his heart. I don't see a difference. I give you some information in the book on that count that you can read through. But here's the way I look at it simply, and I don't have a lot of time, do I? The same sun that hardens clay softens butter. What's the key? It's the composition of the material, isn't it? Clay's going to harden and butter is going to soften. And there is no difference regarding this truth. The same message that can harden one heart like it's going to do Pharaoh can soften other hearts. It depends on the composition of the heart, doesn't it? So in reality, certainly you can say Pharaoh hardened his own heart, but you can also say the Lord hardened his heart, because the message that God is sending him will harden his heart instead of soften it. And he's never really sincere when he wants to let the Israelites go for a little bit and come back, and all of this is going to be a pattern of his. He soon changes his mind and his old heart hardens up again. That's what stubbornness will do. Stubbornness leads to a hardened heart. And as one writer said, and it's true, the effect of truth on evil minds is to enrage, to irritate, and to harden hearts. Nothing positive about that, isn't it? Don't lose the book of Exodus, but I do need to at least read a little bit out of the book of Romans, where there is an allusion to Pharaoh and this episode. In Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, I would like to read a little bit there. It certainly ties in with what we're talking about right now. Romans chapter 9, Paul will bring this subject up, beginning in verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name might be published abroad in all of the earth. Pretty key verse right there, isn't it? So then he hath mercy on whom he will, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he still find fault? For who withstands his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why didst thou make me thus? Or hath not the potter a right over the clay from the same lump to make one part a vessel of honor and another unto dishonor? Stubbornness leads to a hardened heart. And Pharaoh is a stubborn man. The effect of truth on evil minds is to enrage, irritate, and to harden. Also in the Old Testament, if you will, in Psalm 81, beginning in verse 10 through 12, I am Jehovah thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it, but my people hearkens not to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. Isn't it sad that we focus on Pharaoh here, who's stubborn, that leads to a hardened heart? Israel will be delivered from bondage, and they're going to go down the same road as a nation. They also will be stubborn, and it will lead to a hardened heart among them as a nation. And the last time I checked, that's still the case today. That's a sad legacy. We see it in Pharaoh. We see it in Israel and all the Old Testament, and we see it unchanged today. And I say again, the same sun that hardens the clay softens the butter. It depends on the composition of the heart. So stubbornness leads to a hardened heart, but Pharaoh's going to find out it also leads to punishment, doesn't it? His stubbornness will not only lead to a hardened heart, but it will lead to punishment. And part of that punishment was to give him up to a reprobate mind, stubbornness, pride, and false confidence. And you know what's kind of scary, brethren and friends? That could still happen today, couldn't it? Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, I know you're very familiar with. God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But notice, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. God is giving Pharaoh up to a stubborn, hardened heart. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. Now if you have a newer translation, you know what he's talking about there. He's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism. If that's where they're determined to go, if that's the way they're determined to live, then God will give them up to those things. Verse 28, even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. They refuse to have God in their knowledge, and that's where we see Pharaoh sitting right here. He is refusing to have God in his knowledge. The proof is right before him. He is seeing it 1, 2, 3, all the way through 10 times. How much more do you have to see, Pharaoh? How much more do you have to witness the power of God? And he never does get it, does he? He never will get it, because stubbornness will lead to his punishment and his destruction. Isn't it very sad, brethren and friends, that we have so many pharaohs in our world today? You may have some of those that you know. We have God's demonstration of power through his word. I'm always impressed when I read the first, second, or third chapter of Joshua, because after the parting of the Red Sea, a great demonstration of God's power. When they began to try to enter the land, even those people there in Jericho had heard of God's power in parting the Red Sea. And it had an effect on them. They were in somewhat of fear, because that was a great demonstration of God's power. And I guess it really gets down to whether we believe the Bible is God's word or we don't. Years and years ago, when I was working at the Bible Chair in Huntsville, Texas, at Sam Houston State, there was an organization on campus called the Gay and Lesbian Coalition. And they were getting kind of prideful, because they were calling around all of these places trying to get someone to debate them on TV. And nobody wanted to take it. I don't know the reasons why people were saying no, all these other groups that didn't want to have anything to do with it. But I was ready for the call. Now, I'm not exactly very crazy about going on TV, and that's something nervous. I even look at a camera and it gets me. But you know, I couldn't let that go. How would I shame my God if I wasn't willing to debate that and to defend God's teaching on that subject? I don't have any business being a preacher. So I took on the challenge, and we did debate it for 30 minutes on the local university TV station there. But I know I wasn't alone, because I knew that I had God's word behind me. And I knew what it says and what it teaches about that. And anybody could have done what I had done. Someone just needed to step forward and do it. And I'm glad that Moses is stepping forward and doing it. Many today, though, are like Pharaoh in response to the word. And that young lady who I was debating, and it was a lesbian that I was debating that day, obviously didn't know anything about the Bible, was misquoting it, didn't know what she was talking about, obviously. And I could go into a lot of details about that. But I wasn't there to pound her. I wasn't there to shame her. I was just there with the Word of God. And what I was trying real hard to do, which I believe Paul wants us to do when we're dealing in those difficult situations, speak the truth with love. Ephesians 4:15. Speak it. Be bold about it. Be courageous about it. But do it with love. And that way you'll be blameless. Now that doesn't mean they're still going not to attack you, because they don't really have an answer to the word. But we have a lot of people whose hearts are hardened when they see God's word demonstrated today through the word. Many people today are like Pharaoh. I mean, his heart is going to harden after every one of these four plagues and all the rest of them that are to come. He's going to continue to do that, and he sees a clear demonstration of God's power. And most of you know, when you've studied the Bible with people and you can show them clearly what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and you can show them clearly, but their hearts will harden because they're stubborn. They can see it in black and white, and they're stubborn. They can hear what the Word has to say about homosexuality, whether it be the Old Testament or the New. It's clear. It's straightforward. You can't miss it. But like Pharaoh, they have hardened hearts. And I want to be like God in the sense of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You know God's attitude about all of this? You know that verse well, don't you? God doesn't desire or wish that any should perish, but all come to repentance. This is God's view. But if they are determined to live that lifestyle, if they are determined not to accept the truth about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, if they're determined not to accept the truth about homosexuality, if they are not receptive to the truth about abortion, and the list can go on and on and on and on, and you know what, the issues that are out there that's so controversial in our nation today from the politically correct group. It really doesn't matter what they think or what they say, because they are ignorant. But the sad thing is, it gets my attention of what I read a while ago in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and following. God's going to give them up to these things. If that's the way they want to live, if that's the way they want to live their life, then that's where they're going to end up. A hardened heart, and eventually destruction. And that's what happened to Pharaoh when you read the rest of the story. These first four plagues are not going to persuade him. There's got to be some more, and even those are not going to persuade him. And as you well know, even when he lets them go, he changes his mind and his heart hardens again, and he's determined to bring them back. And I alluded to that great incident that I know you'll cover sometime this week. One of the greatest demonstrations of God's power was the parting of the Red Sea, where Pharaoh's army was destroyed. And Pharaoh's kingdom is left a shambles. And that is the end result when you try to challenge God or defy God, or your heart is so stubborn you refuse to accept His truth. Jesus said, as we well know in John chapter 8, verse 33, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Moses had a lesson to learn, and his heart softened, and he went about the task. And we praise him for that. He did get the courage. He did get the commitment. He did get the boldness to face one of the mightiest men of the world at that time. Maybe he didn't know for sure how this was going to work out either, what his own life may be on the line. But he received God's commission and he carried it out. Pharaoh received God's message and it hardened his heart like clay. And I guess that's the real issue we all need to consider as we wind this lesson down. That God's message is the same. It's never changed. What God tells us to do is for our good. And when God says, don't do this, we know it's for our good. I wish we could look at God that way. That His parameters and His boundaries are for our good. Even the negative things that we may not like, it's for our good. God is looking out for us. Isn't it Bill O'Reilly that's always saying that at the end of his show? Because I'm looking out for you. God is always looking out for us, isn't He? And I guess Pharaoh is not going to learn that lesson. I want to close with one verse. As I mentioned earlier, Israel's not going to learn that lesson either. Don't let it be said of you and I. In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and you see this repeated several times. To Israel, to Pharaoh, to you and I. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel. Now we're talking about stubbornness there. That leads to a hardened heart. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of Jehovah hath spoken it so. That hadn't changed today, has it? God has always given, whether it's Adam and Eve in the beginning or all the way to right now, He's always given us a choice. He gave Pharaoh a choice. He didn't have to go that direction. He didn't have to harden his heart. He didn't have to be stubborn. And he didn't have to go through the destruction that he has to face later on in this book. But he chose to, and God gave him up to it. That's not a good choice, but it's a choice many people choose to make. Let it not be up. As we see the power of God in this book through these first four plagues, may that hit our heart in the right way, and our hearts will soften like butter and not harden like clay. Appreciate your attention tonight.